Well, it's lovely to be along with you tonight. My wife always tells me to speak up, but I hope you can hear me all right. And it's lovely to be along with you. It's nice to be asked along too. My wife says to me before I left tonight, make sure you remember it's young people you're speaking to. So it's lovely to be with you. And it's good to hear you as of a converted Roman Catholic come along next week, because I'm a converted Protestant. You know, I used to believe that I was a Protestant and I was right and that was it. But I soon come to realize that I wasn't all right. And 20 odd years, Boxing Night passed there, I give my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do a little verse of scripture, Romans 10 and verse 9. And it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. On my own living room floor, along with my wife, the both of us knelt, and we admitted to God that we were sinners, and we asked God to forgive us for our sins and to come into our heart and life and save us. And that night we passed from death unto life, from the power of Satan unto God, and we knew our sins forgiven, and we knew peace with God. And that was a wonderful start in our life. And thank the Lord, he has kept us. Kept us going on, and he's kept us. We have failed him many times, but he's never failed us. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Well, you're saying, maybe I couldn't keep it. Well, you're right, you'll not keep it. But the Lord does the keeping. He does all the keeping. So when I was asked, what was I going to speak on tonight? Well, I really didn't know, because I've never been asked that question before. It's hard to believe after 20 years, like somebody's asked you, well, what would your subject be? Well, nobody's ever asked me that before. So I thought of faith. And then when Sharon rang me back, I says, I'll speak on faith. So I would just like to leave you with a little bit about faith tonight. I know I can't cover it all. I'd be here to this time next year and I still wouldn't be finished. But I can share some little thoughts tonight about faith. But before we read the Word of God, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your presence with us. We thank you, Lord, for this little hall, and thank you, Lord, for the work that's been done in it over the years. And we just pray, Father, tonight that you'll bless our time together. And pray, Father, that you'll open our hearts and open our understanding to the things of God. Help us, Lord, to hear the voice of God. And whatever the need is in the service tonight, Lord, we pray you'll come and you'll minister to us. That the Spirit of God will take the things of God and apply them to our hearts and to our lives. And we ask that the Lord Jesus Christ will stand in our midst tonight. In his lovely name we ask it. Amen. Well, I'm going to read a few verses of scripture from the great chapter of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll not read the whole chapter, but we'll just read a few verses from the start of it. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, reading from verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. And we'll just leave the reading there at verse 12. And we know that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts tonight. Well, what is faith? What is faith? People have faith in an awful lot of things. Some people have faith in their family. They believe their family lived good lives, and because they were born into that family, then they had faith in their family. Some have faith in their church, the church they go to, the people they sit with week in and week out. Some people have faith in where they were brought up and what religion, Protestant, Catholic, Muslim, Jew, and they looked upon that. But the Word of God tells us so much about faith. And what do we have faith in? Well, the first thing I want us to notice about faith is faith that saves. That's the most important part. You see, you have to start off right. And if you start off right, then everything else will go well after that, as long as you have faith. So faith that saves. You see, we read about it there in verse 4. In verse 4 it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. You see, Abel brought the first of the flock. Abel brought the lamb. Abel realized that what pleased God was the blood. You see, the blood was most important in faith. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. And Abel knew that, where Cain brought the works of his hand. Abel brought the fruit, the vegetables, and the things like that. But Cain realized what pleased God was the blood. You see, he was looking to the Lamb of God who would come and give his blood to atone for his sins. So there's three things I would like to notice first of all about faith that saves. It says in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I can't say, well, if I come from a good family and we do everything we're supposed to do and we live a good life, then God will be pleased with us and he'll save us. Rather than save the man who was maybe lying in the gutter or maybe lived a life of sin and get into so much trouble. So if God was going to save anybody, he would save me. Well, you see, it's by grace are we saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And you see, there's three things I would like to notice about that. First of all, there's the facts, you see. If we're going to have faith in something, we have to have faith in the facts. And the facts are the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's not facts in what I say. It's not facts in what you say. It's facts in what God says. That's the most important thing. Now, there's many verses of Scripture we could look to tonight, but I just want us to notice a few. First of all, I want us to go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 23, it says this here. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So if we're going to be saved, it has to be by God. We can't get saved by man. We can't get saved by our own deeds, our own good works, or anything like that. So it's by God. And even if you go on to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 16, it says this. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You see again the little word saved. You see, people don't use that little word anymore. But it's saved. We need to know we're saved. The facts are that the Word of God tells us that we need to be saved. Then whenever you go on to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 50. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 50, it says this. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Again, saved. Saved. And then in John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So that's the facts. The facts is that God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that one soul should be lost. And I believe that everybody can be saved, but I don't believe everybody will be saved. The Word of God doesn't teach me that. But provision has been made that the gospel that we have tonight, that people can be saved. So you need to be saved. And that's the facts. The facts of it is that you need to start right. I had to start right. I started 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, there in a house in North Belfast. I got saved. I couldn't have told you anything about the Bible, but I got saved. And I knew I was saved. So therefore, there you see the facts. Then you see faith. Faith in the facts. You need faith in the facts. You see, the Word of God tells us about these great men of faith here in Hebrews chapter 11. And you see, we could look at a lot of them tonight. But let's look at Peter. Remember Peter went out in the boat? And the Lord Jesus said to Peter and the disciples, Go ye on to the other side. And he says, And I'll see you there. I'll see you across there. And they went out in the boat, and the next storm came, and the boat was tossed up and down, and Jesus was walking on the water. And as the Lord Jesus was walking on the water, Peter looked out, and he saw him. And he says, Lord, bid me come out to you. And the Lord says, Come. And he had faith to get out of the boat and to walk on the water. Now his faith faltered because he started to sink. He saw the storm, he saw the waves, everything was going up and down, and he panicked, he took his eyes off the Lord, and he started to sink. But he had faith to get out of the boat. He had faith to get out and to walk towards the Lord Jesus. It was only when he took his eyes off the Lord that he started to sink. And we need to have faith in the Lord Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And we need to keep them firmly on the Lord. And then, after that, then there's feelings. Feelings. You see, feelings, you're not saved by feelings. But your feelings change. You see, whenever you get the facts and you have faith in the facts and you get saved and you know you're saved, then your feelings change. Your feelings change towards God. You see, I never had any feelings towards God. I said, well, there's a God there, but I didn't know that God. But your feelings towards God has to change. You see, then you have to please God. You have to go God's way. Be obedient to God. And I knew that in my life. And I got it wrong a whole lot of times. But God was gracious. So your feelings towards God change. And your feelings towards your fellow man change. You see, that's another fact too. You see, my feelings towards my fellow man change. You see, I was a Protestant and I stayed with Protestants. I had no time for Catholics. But when I got saved, then I realized that not only were the Protestants lost, but the Catholics were lost. And what has God's word said? For God so loved the world. And if God loved the world, then I ought to love my fellow man. And then your feelings towards yourself change. You see, that's important. You see, your feelings start to change towards yourself because you realize that you have to change. And when God speaks to you through the Word, then you need to be obedient to the Word. And I started to realize that. You see, God started to speak to me through His Word, and I realized that I needed to change. And something else, feelings towards your future. Where you were going. I was going to heaven. And I realized that. Before I got saved, I was going to hell. Now I realized I'm going to heaven. So my feelings changed. And there has to be a change. And if you're faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you know you're saved, then you change. I changed. And if I know that I needed to change, and I realize now I'm looking back at my life, and there was a man called Eric Black, and he used to sing that song, Wasted Years. I wasted all my life. And you are young people here tonight. And let me tell you this. If you start off in a life of sin, it brings heartache. That's what it brings. I've known heartache. I've known pain. I've known the way I lived my life brought nothing but pain and heartache and suffering. Wasted. Totally and utterly wasted. And you see, that's what sin does. It takes you down a road you don't want to go. And you try to get off it, and you can't get off it. What did I do? Well, a young man at 20 years of age, I joined the paramilitaries because I didn't realize. Well, I says, well, look what I'm living in and all this round here and bombing and shooting. And what else do you do? But it was the start of a life of pain. And you see tonight, if you start right and start with God and give God your life, then I tell you this. And you'll save yourself from an awful lot of heartache. So there we have faith that saves. So we realize where we stand now. We need to be saved. And then I want us to know notice, faith that satisfies. That satisfies. We read about it there in Hebrews 11 and verse 5. It says there, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith that satisfies. And there you see that Enoch had that faith that he pleased God. You see, that's what we need to do. That's what we have to do. We have to please God. We don't have to please man. We please God. God is the one we have to please. And here was a man, Enoch, and he pleased God. He pleased him. For there, without faith, it is impossible to please him. God was satisfied with Enoch's walk. Enoch walked in the days of Noah, when everything around was corrupt and evil. But yet in it all, Enoch walked with God. And you look at the world that you have out here tonight, and you say, how could you keep your Christianity in a world like that? But Enoch lived in a world like that. Enoch lived in times when everything around him was evil and corrupt. But yet Enoch walked with God. Faith that satisfies. Faith that satisfies God. Pleasing God. And then in verse 7, we see there faith that serves. Faith that serves. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So there you see faith that serves. James 2 and 26, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. A little illustration I heard one time, and it was the simplest little illustration, but it proves it all. If you were to get into a boat and you were to row from one end of the lake to the other end of the lake, you need the two oars to go together, don't you? Now, if you've just got faith and you're doing that, you'll go round in a circle. And then if you do that with this side, just works, you'll go round in a circle. But when faith and works are going together, you'll get to the other side. So therefore you see, faith that serves. We need to serve. We need to serve. And here was a man, Noah, who served God. He preached for 120 years. And as he was preaching the gospel, and as he had faith in God, he was building a boat. He was building a boat. And the people all came and they looked at him and they laughed at him and they made fun out of him. Called him a silly old man and whatever else they would say to him. But he warned them for 120 years and they never took heed. And after 120 years, God shut them into the ark and he passed judgment upon the old world. You see, the two go together. Faith and works. People tell me today, people tell me about their Christians and about Jesus Christ, but they don't have the Holy Spirit. Some tell me that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, but they know nothing about Jesus Christ. And you see, the two of them go together. The two of them go together. Maybe you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, but have you received the Holy Spirit from you've believed? You see, that's important. And you see, some people have faith, but they don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have faith in what they're doing and the way they're going. We need to have faith in God and faith that serves. And then in verse 8, here in Hebrews 11, we see something else. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. There you see faith that sees. Faith that sees. You see, there's a faith that sees. Abraham had that faith. God just told him to pack up and go. And I'll show you. He never questioned, he never said, where am I going? He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where he was going to end up. But he had the faith to believe God, that God was telling him to go to that place which he would show him. And here, Abraham, faith that sees. You see, he saw the promise. He saw the promise afar off. And you see, when God gives you a promise, you see, you hang on to that promise. And you have faith in that promise. And you see, no matter what happens, God will fulfill that promise. Abraham had the promise, the land of promise. God was going to take him into the land that he had was going to promise to him. And he was going to take him into it. He saw the provision. The provision he saw was in Mount Moriah when he took his son Isaac up to sacrifice him. The Lord provided. And you see here, Abraham had faith that sees. And we have to have faith that sees. And sometimes God asks us to do things and we don't understand. We don't understand. Sometimes God tells us to move on. And he doesn't tell us where we're going. I remember one time, and Jonathan at the back there, his father works for the Hebrew Scriptures. Well, I used to work for the Hebrew Scriptures, you see. And I remember the Lord calling me to go and work with the Jews in London. And I knew that. See, God was speaking to me, and I went to meetings, and I heard this, and I went to another meeting, and I heard, and I says, the Lord's calling me to go to London to work with the Jews. I couldn't understand it. So I decided something. I says, right, well, London City Mission. I says, now, they're a good organization. I'll apply to them, and there was a man speaking at a meeting, and I went to London City Mission. And I went in and I listened to the man, and after the meeting was all over, I went to him and spoke to him. Next thing I went for interviews and he asked me to go to London. And I went over to London for an interview and I was confident going into it. I went into this interview. I says, well, the Lord's called me to London, so that's all I need to know. So when I went in for this interview anyway, and I looked at this table, and there must have been about 20 sitting around this table, and they all started to ask me questions. I don't know where I was giving them the right answers or not, but I just carried on anyway because I knew that the Lord was calling me to London to work with the Jews. I knew that. Well, after the interview was over, I walked out and a man came out and says, we can't use you. Well, I was flabbergasted because I knew I was going to be in London working with the Jews, and here's London City Mission saying to me, you know, they can't use me. I couldn't understand it. Then I went home and I started to pray about this whole thing and try to work it all out in my mind what exactly was going on. And you remember this rich young ruler. And the Lord says to the rich young ruler, sell all that thou have. He says, give to the poor, take up thy cross and follow me. We owned our own house in Belfast. We'd only had it about a year. The Lord says, put the for sale sign up. He says, put the for sale sign up. He says, put the for sale sign up. Well, that's okay. I says, son, put the for sale sign up. That's my wife. So up the for sale sign went outside the door. And the day I went out to get the for sale sign up, the man next door had his up. I couldn't believe it. So up the for sale sign went. And the next thing was God started to move. And you see, you have to take that step of faith sometimes. Sometimes you have to step out in the promises of God. So I stepped out in the promise of God. Before I knew it, I went to Wales. I didn't go to London, I went to Wales. The Bible College. You see. But God calls people to Bible College, you know. And I went to Bible College over in Wales, and I met a man from London who came up to Wales to speak. And I spoke to him at Wales, and before you knew it, I was in London. And what was I doing in London? I was working with the Jews. And you see, my way was London City Mission, but God's way was the Hebrew Scriptures. And you see, sometimes you'll have your own plan. Sometimes you'll have your own ambitions and what you're going to do. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do the other. But you see, that just might not be what God has for you. God maybe has something else for you. God maybe wants you, dear friend, tonight to go to Bible College. I've been in two Bible colleges. I needed it, you see. And maybe tonight God's calling you. Maybe God's calling you tonight to step out in faith. Give up your ambitions. Give up your plans. Give up everything. Say, listen, I'm going to step out in the promises of God, and I'm going to give God all. And you know what? You couldn't do a better thing. Not a better thing did you do tonight. You see, I wasted my life. I wasted it. And dear friends, tonight, don't waste your life. Give it to God. Give it to God. And He'll do the rest. He'll look after you. He was a man, Abraham. A man that saw. Faith that sees the promises of God. And then it was there in verse 9. Faith that surrenders. Didn't he? When Abraham took Isaac and he took him up the Mount Moriah and he went up onto that mountain, did he not surrender to the Father? Did he not say, Father, there's the fire and there's the wood, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice? And he surrendered to the Father, and the Father took Isaac and he laid him up on the altar and he took a knife and he was going to plunge a knife into him. And the angel of the Lord cried out. He surrendered. We live in a land where they say no surrender. No surrender. That's all I ever heard from a young man where I live. But you know, God wants you to surrender. That's what God wants you to do. God wants you to surrender. Surrender all. We sing it, don't we? I surrender all. And there we see faith that surrenders. And then we see faith. Verse 9. There was Jacob. And he was seeking. He was seeking the blessing of God. Do you remember he wrestled with a man? And the angel says, let me go. And he says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And you see, faith that seeks the blessing of God. Can I ask you tonight, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? You see, we need to pray. We need to pray. And I remember listening to a man one time and he told me about the morning watch. You see, the morning watch is most important, even for young people, because there's so much out there that would work against you and you need to have a prayer life. You need to have a prayer life. It needs to be a life that you have to discipline yourself for. Discipline. I was never one for discipline. I always get into trouble, you see. I rejected it. I didn't want to be disciplined. I wanted to go and do my own thing and go my own way. But you see, whenever you become a Christian, you have to discipline yourself. My father used to take a stick to me. He used to say to me, being at 6 o'clock, if you're not here at 6 o'clock, I'll be waiting at the back gate for you with a stick. Whenever 6 o'clock came, I said, I'll take another 10 minutes. But sure as I was walking up that entry, there he was standing with a stick. And I got it. And you see, the thing is, God's the same. We need to discipline ourselves. We need to discipline ourselves with God. And one of the things that we need to discipline ourselves with is prayer. We need to pray. You see, have we fallen out with God? You see, if you're not speaking to Him, why are you not speaking to Him? You see, we need to speak to God. And you see, God knows what lies ahead. And you see, we need the prayer. And we need to pray early in the morning. That's so much more, but I'm not going to go on much longer. I'll just look at a few more points. And then there's faith that stands. Faith that stands. Verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Faith that stands. It says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. There was Joseph. He was a young man. A young man that had everything going for him. He was the father's favorite. The father gave him a lovely coat. And his father says to him one day, Joseph, I want you to go and see how your brethren are doing. And away he went. And when he left home that day, he was never to return to it. Never. He headed off down that road. And God took control of his life. And he went down that road and he went into a pit. His brothers put him into a pit. And then he went down into Egypt and he went into Potiphar's house. And there he was tempted sorely by Potiphar's wife and he ended up in prison. And this went on and he was wondering to himself, all the dreams he had. He had all these dreams about his father and his mother and his brethren and all bowing down to him. And there he finds himself down in Egypt in prison. And he's saying to himself, what's God doing here? What's God doing here to me? And there he's in prison. And as he's in prison, there's a butler comes across his path one day. And he says to the butler, whenever you get out of here, tell them I'm in here. I shouldn't be in here. I'm innocent. And the butler never remembered him when he got out. And you see, the little lesson to learn there is never try to get out of a situation, you see, until God opens up the way for you to come out of it. Joseph wasn't ready to come out. God had him there for a reason. And then when he did come out, where did he end up? Second in control of Egypt. Prime Minister. And you see, faith that stands. And sometimes God takes us through things. Takes us into situations. Takes us down a road. And we find that road just maybe not a very pleasant road to be on. That's when your faith's tested, you see. And the Word of God says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. And then I'll finish with this one here. Faith that spreads. Faith that spreads. We read about it there in verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Here was Rahab, she received the spies, she believed, she heard of all the things that were happening. And one of the spies says to Rahab, listen, put a red thread out of your window. And she says, whenever we come here to take Jericho, she says, whoever's in your house will be saved. Rahab went out and she witnessed to her family. And she got her family into the house. Do you know whenever the walls of Jericho The children of Israel marched around them 6 times, once every day for 6 days. And on the 7th day, marched around it 7 days. And then the walls came down. Do you know there was a part of that wall didn't come down? It's where Rahab lived. Her home stayed still. And all the rest of it came down. And dear friends, tonight, faith that spreads. You see, if we have got faith tonight, and we have faith in this word tonight, and we're saved, and we know it's true, and we're believing it with all our heart, then we need to spread it. We need to tell others. We need to tell those in the schools, and we need to tell those in the colleges, and we need to tell those that live around us, and we need to tell those that work with us. You see, it spreads. Faith that spreads. And if it's living for you, then you'll not be able to hold it in. And it spreads. And I could share so much more with you tonight, but I feel I've said enough. But really, at the end of it all starts off with faith that saves. And it doesn't stop there. You see, your Christian life starts the day you get saved. And from that day until you go home to glory, it's a process that you go through. But it's faith in the one who came, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who suffered upon Calvary's cross. The one who gave his life's blood to redeem you. You see, God's word is a challenging word. It challenges us. It encourages us. It rebukes us. But at the end of the day, it's the only way. And thank God tonight for the great men of faith. And thank God for Hebrews chapter 11. And thank God for those that caught the vision and were determined to go through with God. So I just leave with you tonight those few little thoughts. I hope the Lord has blessed them to your heart. I hope the Lord has challenged you, because I don't believe you can't read the Word of God without being challenged. And all I would say to you tonight is, if God has spoken to you tonight through His Word, just take that step of faith. And it will open up, everything will just open up before you. And God will wonderfully look after you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you tonight for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for those that have caught the vision to take the gospel to the lost. Thank you, Lord, tonight, for by grace are we saved through faith, and not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Bury your word deep within our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.